believe. Guess where I'm reading from again tonight?
Come on, buddy.
Revelation chapter number 3, if you want to turn your Bibles. I can't get out of this chapter. I've been here for a while. I've been stuck in the mud here. Amen. Stuck in a rut, I guess you'd say. I believe the Lord's trying to tell us something, amen, out of these verses of Scripture.
Yes, He is.
But we're living in a day where we better learn to put the Lord first, amen. Put Him first in our life. I believe if we would do that, if we learn to put God first, I think things would work way smoother. Amen.
Yes, yes sir.
Way better. Hallelujah. If we learn to put Jesus first in our life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glad you're here. Revelation chapter 3. If you have your Bibles. Amen. I'm trying to debate. I've read the whole latter part of this. Been preaching from the latter part of this chapter. But I think I want to start from verse 20 here tonight. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him.
Yes.
And he with me. I spent a lot of time preaching there Sunday.
Thank you.
Let's go on down. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me at my throne. Boy, I want to overcome, don't you?
Yes.
My. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Amen. Thank you for standing here tonight for the reading of the word of the Lord. Amen. If the Lord would help us. And some of you still may have your pictures, and there's a couple up here. I don't know if anybody would want one, Laney. If anybody wasn't here and wants one of these pictures, I kind of took I read an illustration and it touched my heart. Amen. I was trying to think of his name. Praise God. And but he drew this painting. I got it somewhere here if I can find it. Hallelujah. Holman Hunt. That's his name. He drew this painting and it was a masterpiece. And praise the Lord. It was later hung in St. Paul's Cathedral. Hallelujah. And it was a beautiful picture. Some of you still may have it. It's a beautiful picture of Jesus standing there.
Yes.
At a door, Brother Tommy.
Yep.
Amen. He's standing here at this door knocking in this verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, I want you to notice this, and open the door.
Right.
I will come in to him. Hallelujah. And so I read this illustration and touched my heart, and so I Googled it. Of course, you Google everything nowadays. I Googled it Sunday, and I seen this beautiful picture. I don't have a good printer, so I asked Brother Tommy, I said, would you print me that? Amen. He printed several copies of this picture, and it still touches my heart. Amen. Jesus standing there, knocking on the door.
Yes, yes, yes.
Praise God. Holding the lantern, holding the light there in his hand, and he's knocking on the door. Jesus said, behold, amen, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I still believe that's the important part today, don't you?
Yes.
Amen. Open the door and let Jesus come in. Hallelujah. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who stands at the door and knocks. Amen. Who is Jesus? He's the one, I believe, that loves us the most.
Amen. Right.
Thank God. He's the one that loved us when we were unlovable. Amen.
Right.
He's the one that loved us when we didn't love ourselves. Amen. Yeah. And I looked at Bill today, and I felt quite sorry for him. He's a good worker. He's helped me for about 5 years mow these yards, and he claims he's a recovering addict. Sometimes I wonder if he still ain't trying stuff. Amen. But his life's a mess, Brother Anthony. And he's lost a lot of weight even this year, and his teeth are in bad shape, and just his life's a mess. And to look at, see, he's a professional liar. I was telling Michelle and some of them, and we was at somebody's house, and he's interested in the car they've got, and I heard him back there asking if Bob was home, and he come back out, and I don't know why he wouldn't want to lie about it, and he come back out, and he said, Bob's always home. I wonder why he's not home today. I said, well, he's probably home. And he said, no, he's not home. I don't think he's, I said, well, his wife was out there. He said, well, I didn't want to aggravate her. I said, well, I heard you ask her if Bob was home. I didn't ask her, and he's just lying to me. But anyway, you see a man like that, then his life's a mess. Amen.
Yeah.
And you think, Boy, nobody cares about somebody like that, but I'm glad Jesus cares about somebody like that, aren't you?
Yes, yes.
Woo, amen. When I was unlovable, when nobody cared about me, I'm so glad that Jesus, praise God, cared about me. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I believe that Jesus suffered and died on the cross. I believe he would have done it just for Jason Painter. Amen.
Right.
Don't you?
Yes.
Praise God. If it had only been you, I believe the Lord would have died. Hallelujah. Just for one. Amen. He is the one who wants to take us to heaven one day. Praise God. And I believe that Jesus is still knocking today. Amen. As it was in the days of Noah, I thought back there. Praise God.
Yeah.
I believe Jesus was knocking in Noah's day. Don't you?
Thank you.
Amen. How does the Bible liken the last days? The Bible said in the end times, in the last days, it will be as it were in the days of Noah. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage. What's wrong with those things, Brother Jason? Nothing, but it's the very day that we're living in today. Hallelujah. People are too busy with life to have time for God. Amen.
Yeah.
We're living life, we're marrying, giving in marriage. People fly from East Coast to West Coast marriages. Amen. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Amen. Praise God. People chase jobs from New York City to California. Now we're having a great flood of people that's leaving California, filling Ohio and the Carolinas, and even starting to come down here into West Virginia. People leaving California by the thousands. Amen. Why? Because they're chasing dreams, chasing money.
Yeah.
Amen. Chasing big jobs. People think this world will make them happy. Amen. But all the meantime,
yes,
Jesus is knocking at the door.
Yes,
I said Jesus is knocking at that door. Praise God.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I want to be there to open the door when he knocks. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I've told you many times, or a few times, and more so when it was just me and Michelle, and then maybe when it was me and her and a couple of the kids, it's a little harder to do when you got five. But Brother Anthony, I'm from Gilbert, but my parents moved away to Monroe County for some time, several years they lived up there, and I'd get home from work and I'd say, Michelle, let's go see my parents. Amen.
Yeah.
And she'd say, ain't you going to call them? I'd say, no, I don't need to call them. That's my mom. Amen. That's my dad. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'd just show up a lot of times, wouldn't get there till 10, 11 o'clock at night, and the closer we'd get, the more nervous Michelle would get. Amen. Ain't you going to call your mom and dad, tell them you're coming up? I knew these night owls, they hardly ever go to bed before midnight. Amen. I said, you got a need in the world, amen, to call them, tell them I'm coming. You know why? Because their door's always open. I'm their son. Hallelujah. Amen. Not one time did they ever come, knock on the door, and they say, well, guess what? I ain't got room for you today. Oh, no, they open the door.
Yeah.
Amen. And in their son comes. I believe that's the way we ought to be with the Lord. If that was some important person that we hadn't seen in a long time, boy, Brother Rice, we'd be excited to open that door up and let them in. I come to tell you, I believe I hear the Lord knocking. Amen. I'd like to preach just like a Philip tonight. I believe I hear the knocking of the Lord, and he wants in somebody's heart tonight. He said, you've been running from me long enough. Amen. You've been putting me off at bay long enough. Why don't you surrender? Why don't you give your all to me? That's what I'd like to do. That's what I'd like to just surrender every bit of Jason. Amen. And say, Lord, amen, why don't you knock on my heart's door? Why don't you get me up in the middle of the night? It'd do some of you some good to get up in the middle of the night and pray some. Hallelujah. It'd do some of you some good to knock the dust off your Bibles and get a devoted prayer life and reading the Bible. Come on, and learn to know Jesus at a personal. I just don't want to know about Jesus from Brother Tommy saying, I was on dope, I was on drugs, and the Lord saved me, and he's so real to me. I feel it. I'm great. I'm glad for that. Thank God Brother Tommy's got an experience. But I hear him knocking. I said, I hear him knocking. Wanting to give you a personal experience. I believe I hear him knocking. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost. Pray for me. I need it. I believe I hear him knocking. Telling somebody, I want to come in and sup with you. I want to come in and have a dinner at your house. I want to come in. Hey, amen. Have me, amen, invited in your heart.
Woo! Yes, Jesus.
Well, Earl and I laugh a lot. Hey, man, we laugh a lot. Praise God. And we as humans are bad for this. But a certain individual told us for 2 or 3 years, I want y'all to come over, we're going to have a cookout. Woo! Come over. Every time we've seen them, come over, let's have a cookout. But it was kind of a broad invitation.
Yeah.
But if I really want you to come over and say have a cookout, I'm going to say, Brother Tommy, this Saturday, 4 o'clock, you come over, we're going to fire the grill up.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And I believe that's what we are with the Lord Jesus. Come on over. But we never really pinpoint it.
Come on.
We never really say, God, I'm serious this time. I know I've been telling you a long time. It's kind of cliche. Lord, I want more Jesus in my heart. I want more Jesus in my life. That's kind of a cliche statement. But when you really get serious, God, you'll get in an altar of prayer and you'll cry out to God and say, it's me, oh God. And I'm serious this time. I'm going to pray through. If I got to pray all night long, I'm going to pray through. Lord, hey, my great God, get serious. I'm going to read my Bible through this year. Amen. I'm going to start with Genesis. I'm going to read the New Testament. I'm going to do it, Lord. Some of you have been telling Jesus that you're going to get serious for 10 years. Amen. You've been telling a long time, Lord, this is the year that I'm going to get serious. Quit being cliche. Set a date to it. Set a time to it. And say, Lord, I hear that knock at the door, but this time I'm going to say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Come on in, Lord. Amen. Great God, I need you 100% in my life. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me move on here.
Yeah.
Who's that standing there knocking at the door?
Oh.
Well, we've established that it's Jesus. Here's what I'd like to zero in on a little bit more here before I move on.
Jesus.
Who is the only person who can let him in?
Jesus. Yes.
Woo. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice,
yes, Lord,
let him open up. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He'll not barge in on your life.
No, he won't.
Right.
Woo! Come on now. Hey, Jerry said, Tommy, would you come out? And what's the other fellow that overdosed? I forget his name.
Doug.
Doug, would you come on out to church? Brother Tommy took that and said, yes, I'd like to come out to that revival and hear you sing. Amen.
Yes.
But Doug, oh no, he didn't want none of that. Praise God. And guess what? Doug didn't get saved. Doug never got. Why? Because Jesus ain't going to force you out of what you want. He's a perfect gentleman.
Right.
You want to go out and drink and carry on and run up and down the roads and go to bars. Amen. And dope your life away. That's what you can do. But if you want the Lord, He'll come in and save you, clean your life up. Hey, remember Tommy, call him to preach, get in a good old gospel church, sing the songs of Zion. Hey, man, what's the difference? One man didn't let him in, but the other man heard the knock. Hey, God, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Why don't somebody pray for me here? Hey, God, do you hear the knock? Are you willing to let the Lord come into your life? Amen.
Yes.
Woo.
100%.
Yes.
Thank you.
Not just part way.
All the way.
All the way.
All the way.
Woo. I feel like we're all bad for this. I feel like I'm bad for this. Well, Jason, you mean you're a preacher? We all fight this. We buckle down, we pray, we read the Bible, we really get in and do good. And something will always knock you right back.
That's true.
Life's got a way of kicking you down.
Yeah.
Right?
Life's got a way, amen, of knocking you off that hobby horse.
Yes, God.
Praise God.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, if you're really serious about
Jesus,
Jesus.
If you're really serious about serving God,
Jesus,
you'll buckle down and say, Lord, come in and sup with me. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Jesus standing at the door. Who can let him in? You've got to let him in.
Right.
Right.
I believe some churches have set Jesus out.
Right.
Yep.
I believe I probably should rephrase that. I believe a lot of churches has shut Jesus out. Amen.
Right.
Sister Maria, I've heard this verse preached several times through my years. And most of the time, I mentioned this the other day, most of the time this verse of Scripture is preached to the lost. Amen. Most of the time this verse of Scripture is preached. If anybody hear my voice, let it come in. Praise God. But Jesus was not preaching this verse right here, this third chapter of the book of Revelation, to the lost. Amen.
Right.
He was preaching this to the Laodicean church. And I don't have time to get into that, but he was preaching to this Laodicean church. Who remembers what he told him? He said, I would that you were hot or that you were cold. But he said, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Hot means to the boiling point, on fire for God. Cold means never an experience. Amen. Never really had that experience with God. Lukewarm means you once had that experience.
Yeah.
You once were on fire for the Lord. You once had him sitting at the table. But now, amen, you've shoved him out and you're doing it on your own. Hey God, you're lukewarm. Jesus said, I would that you were hotter, that you're cold. But because you are lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Amen. Hey God, that's what he told the Laodicean church. And then he come on down a few verses later and he said, but behold, I stand at the door and knock. He was crying to a church that had got cold and indifferent on the Lord. He was crying to a church. Great God, I'm preaching here. I wish everybody's here tonight. I wish this was a Sunday where we had a big crowd. Amen. But I tell you this, what I had on my heart. Amen. But I come to tell us right here tonight, Good Shepherd, Holiness Church, I don't want to be dead, but I want to be on fire. I said I want to be on fire. Lord, would you put a fire down in my heart? Great God, amen. Open up my heart and let the Lord don't shut him out. You can't have revival without Jesus. Don't shut him out. We got to have Jesus in the church. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes,
praise
Lord.
We got to have it in our church.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
We can't have church if he don't show up.
Right.
Jesus.
We can have a form and a fashion. We can have an assembly. We can come sing some songs.
Yeah.
But I tell you, you got to have the Spirit of God.
Right.
To have it, to leave this place and say, boy, I've been in church.
Yes, sir.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Boy, I've been in church. Hallelujah. If the Spirit of God hadn't showed up, amen, we'd have left Charleston that time, Brother Tommy, and my mom would have had a tumor. Amen. Great God, that doctor would have said, I took a tumor off. I sat there with her through the appointments. Amen. And impingement, well, you can see her spinal cord was impinged. It was pushed plumb over by this tumor. Great God. But when they did surgery, Brother Anthony, that doctor said, I'm sorry, it must have been a cyst. Although I never seen it. When we cut through there, she tried to explain it away. She said, when we cut through there, maybe it was a cyst and it just leaked out and, amen, and dissolved itself. She said, but I know this, there was no tumor like we thought, and I believe everything's going to be all right. And we left out there. My mom didn't need radiation treatments. She didn't need chemo treatments. And every time I hugged her, a couple weeks ago, we was back home in Gilbert, and I hugged my mom by, and my hand stuck up in that big hole in her back, and I think about it every time when I hug my mom, and my hand sinks up in that big sinkhole in her back where they did surgery. I said, thank you, Lord, for showing up. Thank you, Lord, that you make the difference. Hey, I come to tell us right here on Thursday night, Jesus will make a difference. He'll make a difference in your family. He'll make a difference in your church. Thank God. Feel the Holy Ghost. Girls, he'll make a difference in your life. Young people, amen, if you get the Lord living right down there inside your heart, amen, you don't have to have the world. You don't have to have the things of the world. You'll be happy with serving God. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Man.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm getting along with it, I'm over there.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's just so much in this. I really thought I was going to get done. I still don't know if I will or not.
Come on.
So that leaves us with the question. What makes one happy in life?
Thank you.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus. Ain't that an age-old question? Well, I'll tell you what's going to make me happy. I'm going to go pursue a career. And when I get that conquered, I'm going to make big money.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kick back and be happy. How many people said that, Brother Tommy?
Yeah.
And when it was all said and done and they got their education and they got that career and they got that big paying job, they were as miserable as they could be.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Why? Because things in this world is not what makes you happy.
Right.
Amen. I've seen people, and once again, I'm not against all this stuff. If you can do all that and be happy, great. And somebody said, I'm going to buy that new car. Amen. Hey, God. And everybody likes a new car. Boy, get in that thing, it smells new.
Yeah.
Them brakes are new.
Yeah.
Them tires are new. But I'd like to let you know here tonight, hey, God, it's got a new price, too. Hey! Oh, amen. But I said, oh, let's say this, that car ain't going to make you happy.
No.
Woo! Things of this world cannot suffice. Amen. I heard, amen, where there was a fella, I don't know why people have all kinds of things that get in their mind that they want to do in life. He said, I want to make $1 million. I want to save $1 million. And he said, when I save this money, Sister Maria, I want to leave it as an inheritance to my children. He had a couple kids. Amen. So he lived his whole life being frugal. Never would spend nothing hardly. Saving. Till one day he kicked back and he hit $1 million mark. Amen. And he said, wow, look at what I've done. Amen. A millionaire, praise God. But guess what? Had never made him happy. Amen. And then he got to the place where he was scared that he was going to lose that $1 million. He couldn't live life. Every day he thought, man, something's going to happen. I'm going to lose this money. And I can't pass it to my kid. And he died a miserable wretch. Had all kinds of money in the bank. Had everything as somebody else would look at him and say, boy, he's got enough to make one happy. But what I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to tell you here tonight, that thing that you're pursuing, that you think's going to make you happy, it don't always make you happy once you get it in your hands. But I preach about one tonight. That's knocking on the door. I said, I'm preaching about one that's knocking on the door. And I believe that's something that'll make you happy. Just open the door and let him come in. I said, let him come in. I believe you'll find yourself happy as a lark. Amen. Having the Lord in your home. Amen.
Yes.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Sister Brewer back home lived on Gilbert Creek. Back home where I grew up. I think she had like 18 kids, natural. That was her kids. But she raised several of her grandkids. They always claimed she raised 20-some kids. Brother Tommy, she lived down, I still could picture it. She lived in a little house across the creek, had a little one of those little walk bridges.
Yeah.
Had to walk over to her house.
Glory.
I never was over there, but just drove by it from the road. It looked like the old place was about to fall down, Brother Anthony. It wasn't much of an old house. It looked like that old house was about to fall down. And I tell you, talk about a happy old lady. That's what I remember as a young boy growing up, church. You're talking about a happy old lady. Anytime you get in church, that old lady's one of the first ones to shouting. That old lady's one of the first ones with her hands up like Sister Maria tonight. Said, I got the joy of the Lord. Here got the joy of the Lord. Hey, if you'd open the door, I believe you'd find some joy.
Yeah.
I said, if you'd open the door and let the Lord in your heart, I believe you'd find some joy. Well, old Sister Brewer, she found the joy. She never had $1 million. She never even had a car. People went and got her, took her back and forth to church. People went and got her groceries and brought them home. She never had nothing in this whole life as far as it's concerned. But boy, she had a whole lot up over there. Ain't got about to feel like shouting. I said she had a whole lot laid up over there. And I come to tell somebody, if you'd open the door, I believe you'd find some happiness.
Yes.
Woo!
Praise the Lord.
Jonathan, Anna,
Jesus,
girls,
thank you, Lord.
Boys, I know it's your first night.
Come on.
Put you on the spot, too. It's Brother Rice. Hey. Hey, is that how old you are, Brother Rice? I guess he's probably the oldest one here tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Brother Rice told me before he's went to Illinois working. He's been in Kentucky working. He's lived that life.
Yep.
Amen. I believe Brother Tommy, he's retired now, worked 40-some years at the nickel plant.
Yep.
I believe some of these other ones that have lived that life could look back and I'd say, Brother Tommy, if you could give us one piece of advice for a man to be happy, what would it be? Yes. Amen. Tell him, I didn't put you on the spot. Do you got any advice?
I'd serve God a lot faster and a lot sooner. I'd open up my heart and say, come on in here, Jesus.
Yeah. Come on now. Brother Rice, you got any advice before I go on here? Amen. For these young people, what would make them happy in this old life? Amen. Would a career make them happy? Would a great education make them happy?
No.
Wonder what would make them happy?
Feeling the Spirit of the Lord.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Feeling the Spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I believe, and I'm not an old man, but I think I know what would make us happy in life. Open that door.
Yeah.
Hey, God in heaven, I believe if we learn and open that door and let the Lord in and let Him have first place in our life. Great God in heaven, are you against an education? If I was preaching against that, I'd be a hypocrite. Because I went to Marshall for 5 years. Amen. I'm not against education. I'm not against things. But what I'm trying to tell us is sometimes I think we endeavor to get all this and we think once I get that, I'll have what it takes. No, that ain't what it takes. Great God, what you need, you're going to find in this altar right here. What you need, you're going to find in the midnight hour. Call it out to God. Hey, what you need, you're going to find down at the house of God, around the saints of God. Thank God, that's what will make you happy.
Jesus.
Woo! Sonny, when there's people all gathered around here praying, had their hands up, crying tears, asking the Lord to help them, yeah, that's what will make us happy.
Yes.
Woo! Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Jesus. Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus.
I'm getting sidetracked here.
Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Good.
Praise
the Lord. Help us.
Praise
the Lord. Holman Hunt. I'm trying to find it here. You like Phillips, John Phillips?
Oh, yeah.
I love Phillips. John Phillips said that this painting that some of you have, this painting now hangs at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Every time they walk inside the church, there hangs this masterpiece of a painting with Jesus standing there. Yeah. And I already mentioned to you, I'm trying to be respectful, but I don't think Jesus is a long-haired hippie. Amen.
Yeah. Thank
God. But other than that, this is a beautiful picture. Praise God.
Right.
But here stands Jesus with his light. The light of Jesus is the light of the world.
Yes, he is.
And he stands there knocking at the door. The people were standing there outside the cathedral when they hung it, and they said, Mr. Holman, what a painting this is. What a masterpiece.
Yeah.
What a work of art. They said, there's one major mistake that you made on this painting. Well, he already knew what they were going to say. He said, what's that? What's the mistake I made? He said, it's a masterpiece. He said, but you got Jesus, the light of the world, standing there with the light, knocking on the door. He said, but there ain't no handle for him to get in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said, oh, it was designed that way. Because Jesus said for him to get in, we have to open the door.
Right.
From the inside.
Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
I want to open the door, don't you?
Yes.
Yes,
Lord.
My.
Yes, Lord.
I want to open the door. I want to let the Lord in my home. I want to let the Lord in my heart. I want to let the Lord in our church.
Yes.
I want Him in my life. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe we get too fast. I believe we get too ahead of things.
Mm-hmm. Whew. Yes, Lord.
I never thought much about it. John Cordell told me, he said his Mama Albright, I don't know if you remember or not, she was 95 or 100. She was right at 100 when she died a couple years ago. Brother John said his Mama Albright, when she was a child, when she was born into the era of the horse and buggy. You know, you think about that. In 100 years, how far we've come as civilization.
It's the truth.
In 100 years. 100 years ago, John Cordell's mama rode a horse and buggy. She remembers the locomotive train.
Yeah.
She remembers the Model T car. She remembers the first airplanes.
Oh, Lord.
Talk about a woman that was born at the perfect time to seeing all this technology come to pass. at 100 years how fast we've moved.
Amen.
So true.
Amen. But Tommy, I get this all the time. I know I look old, but I'm not.
No, you're not.
Michelle loves it. She had to go to the fireplace center today, and she said, and I don't know why this stuff always happens. She went, they sold us a huge rotor from O'Reilly. She needs the new rotors on her van, and she went down her tire land to get them put on, and they had a huge rotor in the box.
Oh my.
And she said, if somebody could just give me a ride home, y'all keep it and get it fixed, and I get my daughter's car. Amen. And he said, you got a daughter old enough to drive? She loves it. But, amen. In the last 100 years, you look at all the technological advances. We got greater, I said all I said is, 40 years old. I just turned 40 a while back. You believe I'm old enough to see the invention of the internet?
True.
When I was a kid, it wasn't a thing.
Right.
Yep.
It's been one of the greatest technological advances in the last century. You can learn anything. You can do school from home now.
Yeah.
Because of the internet. You can learn anything. You can learn a foreign language. You can learn anything in the world from the comfort of your own home.
True.
You can buy anything you want to buy sitting at your house and have it shipped right at home. Look at all the technological advances we've had. What I'm trying to say is we got more conveniences today than we've ever had, but we have less time on our hands.
Yeah.
You notice this?
That's the truth.
You notice this? Back when they had to ride horses and buggies, they had all kinds of time to sit around on the horse and talk to their neighbors and love one another. They had time to pray. They had time to read the Word of God. They had time for church.
Right. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Right.
I'm not being mean, but we gather together on a Thursday night, and most any given Thursday night, we have half of our crowd.
Right.
We ain't got time for church on Thursday night to work all week. We ain't got time. And we got nice cars. We got air-conditioned vehicles. We got air conditioners at the house, but we ain't got time for God.
Right.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Ooh, I'm in deep water. Pray for me.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
I feel like we need to open the door.
Jesus.
I'm done.
Jesus.
Bow your heads, pray with me here.
Jesus.
Somebody give me a song up here, Lord.
Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus, for this service tonight. God, I felt you stirring my heart late this evening. Come down here and study and reading, Lord, praying back there in that office. And preach what I felt like you'd have me to preach. God, some way, somehow, would you help us to slow down?
Jesus.
Lord, we don't, for somehow, some way, we don't have time anymore for you.
Jesus.
No time. You're knocking at the door and you said, I desire to come in and sup with you. Help us, Lord, open that door.
Jesus.
Amen. Lord, now we are at the most important part of this service, so we're going to have an altar call. We're going to invite folks into this altar to pray. And I pray, Lord, that you're dealing with somebody's heart right now.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
God, deal with somebody's heart.
Jesus.
Right here on a Thursday night, I believe this could be a life changer. Amen. I believe this could change somebody's life to say, tonight, I'm going to open the door. And I'm really going to get serious with God. Come on, church. Come on, dude. Maybe some folks want to come up here and gather this altar and say, Lord, I'm going to open the door. I'm going to open the door. Come on, come on, saints of God. Let's find an altar. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord here tonight. I hear him knocking. I hear him knocking.